Hello and welcome to the Small Church Mentor Podcast, where we work to empower the pastors, leadership, and members of small churches to be what God wants them to be. Hi, I'm your host, Gary Feer, and I'm proud to serve you today. Today's topic? Well, I don't really have a topic per se, as much as I have a post that I read the other day. And I thought it was really good, and it was a friend of a friend of mine's posted it on Yes, the infamous Facebook. They posted it on Facebook, and I read it, and I thought it was really, really good. Before I get into the letter, though, I would like to reemphasize and state something, because some of this letter will actually kind of speak against something that you may be doing in your church, or maybe speaking to something you're not willing to be a part of. That is okay. What I've felt from the very beginning, what I've tried to do inside of this podcast and inside of this gathering was to give you permission to be what God has called you to be. Now, there's some things that I read in her letter that I really think she makes some great points, and the spirit of what she says is absolutely correct. Now, whether the practice of it is what God's calling you to that degree or not is between you and God. But some of the things that she speaks to, if you hear the spirit behind it, if you hear what she's saying, she articulated this post in an incredibly wonderful way. I contacted Pam Sullivan, and I'm going to leave out every chance I get. I hope I don't have a slip there, but I'm going to leave out where she's from. There's probably 1,000 Pam Sullivans in the United States, and so I'm not too worried about that, but I'd hate for any reprisals upon her. But I think she did a great, great job on this post. Furthermore, she'll say it on here. She's not serving God right now. So for her to post this and to see these things as somebody that's not serving God, I wonder why some of us that are serving God haven't seen these things as issues. And so I'm going to read through it again. I'm not doing this to dictate or to mandate, hey, you need to do this in your church or you need to do that. I said in the very first, I think you should be faithful to where God's called you. The very first podcasts that I've done, you should be faithful to what God's called your church to be. And I believe that with all my heart. However, understand the spirit of what, and that's why I'm recording this today, and that's why I'm reading her post. And we may go a little bit over today. I try to keep it at the 20-minute mark. It's been getting tough to keep it there and to give you content. I may go over on this one today. I think it's worth it. So she starts out in her first paragraph. Remember, she's speaking to her friends on Facebook. Pam says, this is probably going to make a bunch of people mad, and I may lose some of you. But it's my page for me to post my thoughts. This is not a debate, and you will not change my mind. So I appreciate that. I did read through, and I read some of her, some of the comments to her and some of the rebuttals. I didn't read that she commented any. But one of the ladies that went for her defense said, look, you need to understand the spirit of what she's saying, in essence, is what her defender said. So she writes, a popular church in her hometown has just built a new building because they outgrew the old other one. It has all the new looks, light, comfy seats, and big screen. Pam, you kind of hurt my feelings there. We actually just traded our pews for chairs, comfy chairs at that. Now, in our church, we did that for functionality because we had 10-foot pews, and they were impossible to move around. We were having more weddings. We were having some funerals, and we were having less formal meetings, not church services, but just meetings at the church where moving a pew and stuff became a challenge. So we wanted to maintain that traditional look, but we also wanted to be a functional church. Of course, our building is about 30 foot by 40 foot. So it's ultra small, and we pack a food pantry and an outreach, street outreach mission in here. And so functionality was big. But you can kind of see where she's going to. They built the new looks, lights, comfy seats, big screens, she writes. But you know what it doesn't have? And you know, kudos to Pam for noticing this. She says, but you know what it doesn't have? Altars. When, as a religious society, she writes, did someone decide that it's okay to leave out the most religious icon in a church? Altars have been the ultimate symbol of religion since before synagogues and churches. It's been overtaken by lights that make you feel you're in a club and a big screen that makes you think you're just competing. You're just competing in karaoke. She writes it right. I just read it wrong. And then she puts in church and quotes, which church do you go to? Oh, I go to the one that serves the best coffee and donuts during service. Oh, let's not forget, we get to wear shorts and flip-flops or sweats and hoodies. And I'm going to stop right there for a second. Don't tune this out yet, because she goes on with the spirit of that. Not so much that it's right or wrong, but the spirit of it. Let's go back before we go on the coffee, donuts, flip-flops, and hoodies. Let's go back to the altars. She asks, which church do you go to? But the question begs, why do we go to church? What's the point of being there? The altar is a religious icon, maybe. I think more than anything, the altar has traditionally been a place to touch the throne of God. The altar has been that place for you and God to get things right. Now, you can do that at home, I understand. You can do that at your seat, I understand. You can do that all over the place. And I understand that sometimes churches get so big they can't do it. But especially while we're small, what's wrong with them altars being restored and renewed in our churches? A place where people are getting help from the day-to-day. I think Pam did a great job. But I disagree with her. I don't think it's an icon. I think it's a place that we meet with God. Now, maybe it's an icon in that you can meet with God at your seat, but you know, it's kind of like this. When I just wanted something from my mom and dad, I just kind of asked them half-heartedly. But when I was desperate to get something from my mom and dad, it became a passion of mine. So the altars, I do think, are important. Now, we don't have altars in our church, the church that I pastor. We don't have an altar. What we have is we have a stage that we use as an altar. It stands up a good height, and it was built that way on purpose, because in a small church, in a small building like ours, we don't have a lot of room for the altars and the stage and the seats and so we had to incorporate two things into one. But trust me, the people know we use that as an altar. And they kneel down at it often. And they pray there often. And they're passionate before God often. I think it's an important thing to illustrate and to institute the altars in your church. I want to say this too. Maybe you don't feel led to have an altar service in your church. And I won't impose my beliefs on that. But maybe you do feel like you should. But you feel like also that's not the way. You read a book or you listen to somebody teach or maybe you just figured if you could get rid of the altars. I heard a guy one time say that if he gets rid of his pulpit, if he got rid of his pulpit, the people would feel more in tune with him and he'd be more one-on-one with the people. And I think what he missed out on was the authority that the pulpit demands. And God, pastors, God does put you in authority. Church members, God does put the pastor in authority. He says, know those that labor among you and are over you in the faith. So we have authority in the scripture. We have authority in the church. So these things like the altar, the pulpit, I'm not a big fan of sacraments. I'm not a big fan of the doing things just to do them. communion just to do it, foot washing just to do it. But I am a big fan in doing these things in remembrance of God, in remembrance of Jesus. She talked about there, and I read it, and I stopped and went back to the altars. So let me reread it again. She goes, "What church do you go to?" "Oh, I go to the one that serves the best coffee and donuts during service." "Oh, and let's not forget, we get to wear shorts and flip-flops and sweats and hoodies." And then she asked the question, the million-dollar question, "What happened to the reverence and dressing our Sunday best?" I want to visit that word reverence once again, that respect, if you will. She addresses it. She says, "Ladies, if you go on a nice date, you wear the best little black dress and heels that you have. Guys, you wear the nice pair of dress pants and a button-up shirt. Same with a job interview. You look your best." And here's a problem we have, because I've dealt with people that go on job interviews. I've seen people on dates. I don't see them dressing up anymore. I'm a dad of four children. I've told you, I've got a son that's 15. I got a daughter that's 13. They're a little ways away, but they're encroaching on the dating age. And my son comes downstairs with a holy pair of jeans to go out on a date, and I'm going to smack him upside the head and send him back upstairs, because if he respects a girl enough, he's going to dress decent for her. Now, if they're going and they're going to play frisbee in a park on a date, that's something different. But if you're taking a young lady out, if I have a young man come to my door for my daughter, and they're going to go out to a restaurant, they're going to go get something to eat and all this stuff, whatever kids do on dates these days. I haven't dated for a long time and never did date much. So we'll leave that just there for you. But if he comes in and he's not dressed very nice, then I know he doesn't respect my daughter very much. If you go into a job interview with dirty jeans and ripped up shirt, you don't respect that interviewer very much. And if you don't come to church with your best on, I don't think you're... Now the converse argument, I understand, is that, well, God doesn't care what you look like. I'm telling you, I don't think we dress up for church for God's sake. I think we do it for our own sake. Now, if you don't dress up for church, this isn't meant to dog you. One thing I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help the churches. So in trying to help the churches, I'm trying to help the church understand that respect factor for the church. Did you know, and I'm gonna step back a little bit and talk for a second to illustrate the point. Did you know that Chick-fil-A has been awarded many awards, and most of their accolades and awards they contribute to their training their servers, their employees, how to say please and thank you? Do you know the power of saying please and thank you isn't in how you make the other person feel as much as it is in you learning to respect that other person? And when an employee at a service-based industry respects their customers, they're going to give them good customer service. And when a person respects the house of God, they're going to treat it differently. They're going to treat it better. She has a great... We don't dress our best for church anymore. We don't dress up. We don't try to look our best. Some people say, and I had a guy tell me one time, he says, "Well, if a person walks off the street and into the church, you'll make them feel uncomfortable because you're dressed up so much," and they're not. And I understand. I do believe in being careful not to overdress to make people feel bad. And what do they say? If you go for a job interview, you're supposed to dress half step above what you'd be wearing on that job. So if you're to be wearing just regular pants and a button-up shirt, you should throw a tie on with it. You dress a half step above what you'll be doing. And I believe in your community to dress a half step above, but it should be the best clothes that you have. We have guys come into the church from off the streets, and they're not dressed up, but what they have on is their best. That is huge. What's that do? That gives them respect for God right away. right away. I believe in that. And I'm not saying pastors you should demand it, but I'm saying church members, you should be mindful of it. And somebody that's coming in that doesn't know God, if you look and act just like them, what's the point of them coming to know God? What will it do for them? So she makes a good point. Now she goes on and gives some details, some of the standards in her church. I think this concept that we're speaking of is that you dress respectfully for church. That's the key concept in this podcast. I'm going to read this because I like what she has to say, and I like the respect that she shows for her home church. So it goes on, and she says, society needs to feel the same about church. Remember, talking about dating and the job interview, she says, society needs to feel the same about the church, that reverence, that respect. You are on the most important interview you will ever have. You are convincing God that you are worthy of heaven. And I think that might be one of the only sentences on here that I would have any issue with. You're not trying to convince God that you're worthy of heaven. I understand the spirit of which, Pam, you said this in, but it's not so much that we're trying to convince God we're worthy of heaven as it's we're trying to convince God that we respect him. But that's in our day-to-day, everyday life. That you love him enough, and this is her, that you love him enough to be the very best you can be. She goes on, she talks about her church. She goes, our church floods when it rains, like it did this weekend. She has a church a little bit like mine, I think. Dad called yesterday, and we find out later in here, her dad is her pastor. Dad called yesterday and asked us to help put the pews up on blocks and pack up the songbooks and Sunday school books. I jumped in the car and took off. I got to the church and realized I had pants on. I called Dad and said I had to run home and put on a skirt and church wasn't going on. And this is huge. Listen to this. See, a lot of people's going to shut it off because of the skirt and the pants issue. Listen to this, though. She says, but I respect God enough that I would never step into church with pants on. I respect God enough. Isn't that huge? Our church doesn't approve, and I don't think God does either. She goes on to this and says, I'm not a Christian. I don't pretend to be. My boyfriend lives with me, and my religion doesn't approve of that. Pam, I encourage you strongly, and this is unsolicited, but he's knocking at your door. Open your heart to him. And if you're listening to this, anyone is listening to this today, and you're not a Christian, he's knocking at your door, and he wants to know you. Open your heart to him. Go ahead and let go of those other things. His blessings are way, way greater than those things. Accept him. She goes on to say, I go to church on Sunday mornings because I like singing out of the old Heavenly Highway hymnal and hearing Mom teach Sunday school and Dad preach. Listen, she's kind of an archaic church, isn't it? Hymnals, altars, skirts. Be faithful to who God has called you to be. There's pressure to modernize. There's pressure to modernize. Stand firm on what God's called you to be. If you look just like those you're trying to reach, why would they ever change? They've already got everything you've got. She goes on to say, I do not believe you can repent once in your life and go and sin and be okay afterwards because you're saved. I believe you repent from every sin you commit, or if you die before you do, you will go to hell. If you commit suicide, you will go to hell. She goes on and says, a church without altars is not a church. It's a party pad that makes you think you're all good. I never hear those people who attend church say, man, brother so-and-so preached a hell, fire, and brimstone message. It's all about love. And while that's a good thing, see, she's right, that's a good thing. They need to teach the whole Bible. Yes, if you are disabled or sick, can't go to church, I think God knows and understands. After all, he is God and knows all our thoughts. Don't get pigeon-toed into one type of gospel. I said it many times through the church. We don't have a header that this is a church of faith. We don't have a header, or this is a faith church. We don't have a header that this is a grace church. We don't have a header that this is a holiness church. We don't have a header that this is any other kind of church. I tell them, this is all in all. You walk in holiness through faith because of the grace of God applied to your life in the love of God. And I don't have it memorized, the whole mantra that I go through, but we always put a title over our churches. We pigeon toe ourselves into just parts. I don't want to be a church of only hellfire and brimstone, but I don't want to be a church of only the love of God either. Listen, we need to be well-rounded. We need to preach a salvation message from time to time. And we need to disciple and mentor and teach folks in the church to grow. We need to be well-rounded. She's absolutely right. I don't hear of anybody preaching of hell anymore. I don't just go out and preach hell just because you heard it in a podcast. But if you're lopsided and you're only preaching one gospel and one message, and I don't mean one, there's only one gospel, that's Jesus Christ. You understand that. But if you're only preaching one message and you never grow from that message, the people will never grow. We need to be well-rounded. We need to talk about, you know, there were some days that my dad come home from work and everything was going well. I had my chores done. I had my homework done. And he had all his work done. And he was in a good mood. I was in a good mood. And we got to mess around or talk or maybe watch a favorite TV show or something together. And it was a good night. And we were buddies. My dad and I were friends. There was other nights when I got in trouble in school or maybe he had a bad day or maybe I didn't get my chores done and he put on a different hat with me. And we weren't buddies that day. There was a little bit of discipline there that day. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes things are free and you could talk of and enjoy the joyous things of God. But sometimes we're not right. And we need to be a little bit more stern. She's absolutely right. It's not a party pad. It's a place to meet with God. It's a place for God to deal with our hearts. Timothy was left, what was it? Was it in Crete, I think? But he was left in one place. Paul says to set the church in order. I'm not called to set my church in order unless it's out of order. And sometimes I have to remind the church of order. And if that offends you as a member of a small church, then maybe you're out of order. But you need to get yourself to the place where I'm getting a little bit preachy, but you understand, this is a part of growing. This is a part of learning. So she hasn't talked out of sorts. She's talked to the purpose of the church. When she speaks to the altar, she speaks to the purpose of the church. When she speaks of how we dress and how we act in church, she's talking about the respect towards the church. So what is your purpose in your church? And do you respect your church? She's got one more paragraph. The world is in the condition it's in because people look at the church, or look at church as just a place to eat and hang out. It's a show. The Bibles most churches use aren't Bibles. They're just casually written so people don't have to study and pray for God's direction and meaning. We need to get back to practicing religion, reading the Holy Bible, the original, authorized, authoritative King James Version she likes, and put God back in the church. I've got to say, I think most of the standards that Pam illustrates there are standards that I stand on in our local assembly. Again, I'm trying to encourage you and equip you to be what God wants you to be. But it's really, really, really important. What's the point of having church if we're not reaching the lost? What's the point of having church? I mean, strengthen ourselves to carry ourselves through, but what's the point of having church if we're not equipping the saints? So she speaks of the altar, she speaks of the Bible. And I think what she's really what I read in that, I don't want to put words in her mouth. But when I read that, what it really challenged and encouraged my heart was that I heard her speak to the purpose of the church. I said in a past podcast, I'm going to say it many, many, many times through the life of these podcasts. What is the purpose? You need to define the purpose of your church. And then she speaks to the dress code. She speaks to the eating in church. What do you come to church for? Is the purpose? And then are you showing it the proper respect? Do you respect the church? Thank you, Pam, for letting me read that on air on this podcast. Thank you, everyone else, for listening to it. And I don't want to pigeon-toe you into the standards God has called me to, or to the structure of your church as God's called me into. Some of you out there right now are struggling. Do we keep the altars? Do we keep the dress code? Do we keep this? Do we keep that? Some of you are struggling with that. You want to, but the numbers in your church and the finances may be suffering a little bit. And they will. I'm saying be true to your calling of God. Some of you, that's not your calling, and that's between you and God. I'm not going to step into that. But you have your calling. Be faithful to that. But in all of our callings, what is your purpose? If your purpose is just to grow the church, then you know what? Get rid of the altars and the lights will do it. You need to ask yourself, what are you growing it with? What are you offering people at that point? Altars are a good place to meet God. So your purpose, and I'm just repeating myself, I know it. I thought this was such a good letter. It's so thought-provoking. It's something that I need to, in my own self, what degree do I need to take her advice to? What degree do I need to take her advice to? Do I need to restore altars? Do I need to restore a pulpit? Do I need to restore sacraments? What am I forgetting when I don't have these things? What is the end result? Why do we have them? What is the end result if I don't have them? Altars. And I'm not saying, pastors, that you need to mandate what the people that come to your church wear. I want to talk to the members more particularly when you're coming to the church, what you're wearing, what you're doing when you're at the church. Does it show respect? Does it feed that respect level of towards God or not? Be mindful. Be considerate of these things. I think it'll go a long, long ways for you. I know this was a longer podcast. We've gone over by 10 minutes, by the time I'll stop, it'll be a 30-minute podcast. But I think it is a very important one. I think, Pam, if you do listen to this, you did a great job on your letter. I agree with your standards. I know not everybody does, and that's okay. I suppose that's between you and God. But the spirit of what Pam wrote that in was great, and very impressed, very proud of you. Thank you for posting that. It meant a lot. For those of you that want to comment on it, of course, we're all children of God. Be gentle, but you can comment on the website, smallchurchmentor.com. You can go. I haven't kept it up to date yet, but you can look for us on Facebook. I'd love to start conversations on Facebook. I got to get it up to date, but you can find us if you look for us. Or you can email me at smallchurchmentor@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. If you want to know more about my personal views and the calling that God has given me, then please email me. I'd be more than thrilled to talk to you about it. I'd be more than thrilled to walk you through it. God bless you. Thank you for listening. I hope this was some help. If you don't hear anything else, if some of this turned you off, then at least hear this. You need to define your purpose, and you need to define the level of respect that you are showing towards God. If you do those two things out of this whole half an hour, then I think we'll grow together and will grow in God. Thank you very much. God bless you.